Join me in 1 Corinthians 13. As we ended our sermon last week, we were speaking of the love of God as it compared to knowledge, and Paul was teaching us that the love of God that we have between us should be emphasized over what knowledge, not discounting knowledge at all, because the knowledge of God is indeed salvation. But Paul was encouraging the Corinthian church and us today to not lose sight of the love that we should have between a people. And so as I said last week, I want to go to 1 Corinthians 13, which we all know well. And then this will be the final sermon in Corinthians. We will have our installation services next week and then move after that into the book of John. So here as I read a very familiar passage to you, and I will actually begin the last verse of chapter 12 and then move into chapter 13. Paul says, "And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." I pray you the Lord's blessing on the reading of His Word. Can be said easily that chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is probably one of the better known chapters in this particular part of Paul's writings. Many know it as the love chapter. It speaks so very, very well of love. Barely a wedding passes that this chapter is not used. It appears on the cover of bulletins, gift cards, etc. It's used in part or in whole in many fashions. I heard it also read at the funeral of a loved one not too long ago, which had a particular place at that particular service. It is a text that has a standalone characteristic. Many times I will tell you not to bring a text out of context. Find the context around it in order to gather its fullest meaning. That's true about this one, but here it has the tendency, has the ability of a standalone, a substantial teaching point. I mean, who can argue with its teaching when it says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast? We hold that kind of idea of love up against the world today, and we see the stark contrast with what much of the world teaches today about love. You know, love in the world today is all about emotion. If you make me happy, then I will love you, but if you stop, then I do. Well, that's not love. That's just some idea. here in this passage, chapter 13, we see the great attributes of that Christian kind of love we refer to as agape. Agape love. It is that heartfelt Christian love that comes out of the being of who we are, not what you do. Agape. And we do give our greatest effort to portray the love that is given here. But today, however, I want to try to expand our view of this text and possibly gain an even deeper understanding of its text in Paul's application of giving it here and now in this place. Have you ever asked the question, why did Paul stop here and begin teaching about love? It is context that I want to bring you to today to understand, try to gain a deeper grasp of this beautiful, beautiful passage. I'll call on you to remember that the church in Corinth was a struggling church, to be putting it mildly. There were factions in the church. One group steeped in sexual immorality. One group steeped in the ascetic lifestyle. Even though they were married, they would refrain from any kind of sexual relations because they just had a very improper view of marriage. The tension in the church. Last week we spoke of new converts coming to the church and them being married with a non-believer. And how do they work that out and the tension that could arise in that kind of home? Disagreements, I'm sure. We go back to chapter 5 where we talked about lawsuits. Brothers and sisters in the church were taking each other to court to settle their differences. Disagreements were abounding. Cultural influences were finding their way into the church. And the people were living their worldly lifestyle in the church and trying to influence the business of the church. And Paul is repeatedly saying, no, no, no. This is not the way you were taught. This was not the way you were encouraged in the Holy Scriptures. The one chapter I jumped over here, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, is about spiritual gifts. There was a group in the church that were speaking in tongues. And they thought because they had this, in their mind, elevated gifting of speaking in tongues, that that made them supreme over everyone else in the church who couldn't. We hear some of that tendency today. Here Paul is in the midst of trying to address all of these divisive issues, and he's taking them one right after another in writing and trying to clear all this up, and here he stops. And says, let me teach you about the greater thing. Let me teach you about the greater thing. Let me teach you about the greater thing. And of course, he's speaking of love. He says at the end of chapter 12, and now I will show you the most excellent way. Not a good way, not a preferred way, but the most excellent way. He puts it to the highest elevation when he speaks of conduct and relationships in the church. He is speaking of love, and please know he is not speaking of just any kind of love that we might be confused about using worldly definitions. This is the love which God desires in his children. This is the love that exemplifies God and his character, of which he desires to see in the people that make up the body of his church. Paul is talking about a love in its fullest meaning, a true love to God and a true love to each other. In this first portion, Paul goes on, he says, if I speak in tongues but have not love, if I have the gift of prophecy but have not love, if I give all I possess but have not love, without true love, without God's love, the most glorious gift, our best ambitions are of no account. They are of no worth in the sight of God. A deep understanding of all of the things of God are of no value without a benevolent and loving heart. You may have an open and giving hand, but if not done from a charitable, loving heart, then it has no effect. You may be one who does tremendous things for others, but if not done from the love of God, then it is merely temporary. If we give all away that we have, yet withhold the heart from God, then it will profit us nothing. And there's the point Paul is getting at. The church in Corinth had lost its heart. It was all into performance. It was all into the arguments of who is better than whom. And it lost its heart. What Paul seeks to have the Corinthians understand that this love he is speaking of is a clear proof, and hear me well, this love that Paul speaks of is a clear proof of regeneration. I think it is in Paul's mind that there are people in the church who are not truly redeemed. And from the actions of the Corinth, as I say, true conversion is probably an issue. In this beautiful description of love we see here, Paul wants to show the Corinthians that their conduct in many respects is totally opposite of that which the Christian should be portraying. Paul sees the Corinthian church operating very selfishly, and this love is an utter enemy to selfishness. True love, God's love, does not desire or seek its own praise, does not desire honor, does not desire a profit, does not desire a pleasure. The love Paul is speaking of is the love God has shown to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And here is probably the greatest point I would like to make to you as we dig deeper into this text and putting it into context of losing the heart within the church. This is a love that Paul desires the church to show each other, to show those around them. It is the love of Jesus Christ that he wishes that he would hear of in the writings of these letters that he's receiving from the church. Paul says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. As we relate to each other but have not love between us, then we will be the utmost of failures. Now, let me interject. I couldn't really find a good place to put this, but I need to interject here a caution. Because when we talk about love, in our world today, we have abused that word so badly that I would dare say many of us, all of us probably, have possibly a confusing idea of love. Certainly our biblical idea of the word, of the action, of the sentiment is challenged. And so we need to, when we are loving and asking for love, please ensure that we are using the biblical idea, the biblical definition, the biblical format of love. So many want to create their own ideas of love. And that's exactly what they have done, is created an idea of love. And it's very, very selfishly centered. If you treat me well, I'll love you. If you do as I ask, I'll love you. If you perform in accordance with my ideals, treat me the way I think I need to be treated, then I will love you. A biblical love is a love that speaks the truth. Paul mentions it here. Speaks the truth and expects the truth. A biblical love is a love that holds up the holy text as our pattern of life and lives it and expects it to be lived. A biblical love is a love that understands the balance between truth and justice on the one hand and grace and mercy on the other. I was talking to some brothers the other day about this very idea of this balance. Our God is a truthful and just God, but He is also a very graceful and merciful God. And we in our human eyes look at those two things, we can find that there is a tension in our understanding. But please know, in God's world, there is no tension. He expects truth and justice. He expects grace and mercy and expects them to be lived out in His people. A biblical love is a love that expects nothing in return, yet gives all. To the point of sacrificing everything. To get the real view of this love, Paul speaks of, we must look at Jesus Christ Himself. Because it is there and only there. Not even in Paul himself. But it is in Jesus Christ that we see this teaching of love. Jesus is God incarnate. So the love of God is manifest in Jesus Christ, the God-man. When you look at the characteristics of this love of God that He is pointing out here, we look at Jesus Christ in order to see that. And Jesus lived out that balance between truth and justice and grace and mercy. On the one hand, we see Him calling His disciples together and then sending them out to teach. We just spoke of love greater than knowledge, but we can't discount knowledge because Jesus was one who taught. We saw that love of Jesus Christ as He healed the blind and caused the lame to walk, the blind to see and the dumb to speak. We saw the love of Jesus Christ, yes, as He cleared the temple in His anger. He revealed a love for the justice of His Father. We saw love in that act. We saw the love as Jesus neared the time of His death and He told His disciples of another that would come and bring them comfort. Yes, Jesus was leaving, but He loved them enough to say, there's another coming. He will be your comforter. He will be your encourager. Through this time of trial and struggle that you're about to experience, there will be one there with you. Love. We hear of the love of Jesus in the words when He said, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom. He brought forth that grace and mercy in the service of His life. But He also gave His life to satisfy the justice and the truth of which His Father required. Love. True love. Godly love was seen and heard through the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the testament of the love of which Paul speaks of here. And it is the love that our Lord God desires us to know. It is the love that Paul desired the Corinthians to know. Listen again as I read verses 4 through the first part of 8. And if you don't mind, I'm going to do a little word substitution here. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not boast. Jesus is not proud. Jesus is not rude. Jesus is not self-seeking. Jesus is not easily angered. Jesus keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Jesus always protects. Jesus always trusts. Jesus always hopes. Jesus always perseveres. Jesus never fails. If we desire to understand, to know, to get, to grasp hold of this love that Paul speaks of, we will only find it in the person of Jesus Christ. I tried this, and I'd ask you to try it. Put your name in that place. I can't get past the first one. But I desire to know the love that Paul speaks of here. And just as Jesus redeemed the elect through the love that the Father had given him to bring to those who would be his followers, we too are asked to be instruments of redemption. Because you see, when we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, giving our best desires, even faulty, we are to be ones who go out and share this love with others so that just as Jesus redeemed a people, we might be an instrument of redemption in whatever place we find ourselves. As John Calvin puts it in commenting on this passage, he said, love is to be the regulating, love is to be the regulator of all the actions of life. It is to come through the regulation of the principles of love. Paul desired this for the Corinthians. Our Lord expects it of us. Whatever struggle, whatever challenge that might be before us, whether personal or among us as a church, it is, should be, done through this idea of biblical love. Paul said to the Corinthians, and he says to us, he says to me, now I will show you the most excellent way. The most excellent way. He also says all three of these things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let us pray together. Father, we have much to learn. I have much to learn. So I pray, just as you sent Paul to teach the Corinthians, that you would now allow him, his writings through the Holy Spirit, to teach us, to teach me, to be patient, to be kind, to not be envious or boasting, to not be rude or self-seeking, not to be easily angered. And the wrongs of the past, well, that's where they are in the past. Teach me not to delight in evil, but always to delight in truth. Teach me to be protective. Teach me to be trusting. Teach me to be hopeful. And teach me to persevere in all these things. And in you and your love, we will never fail. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.